Anyway, let us open in a word of prayer. Let us open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time that you've granted us. We are grateful for this session. We ask that you'd grant us grace sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Okay, so, are you able to hear me? Are you able to pick me? Okay, great. So, we're going to have a lovely session tonight. Okay, we're going to have a lovely session tonight. And I will be teaching on a subject I have titled Revival. Bringing revival or birthing revival by light. Okay, birthing revival by light. Okay, now, like I said earlier, and it wasn't a joke, it wasn't hype, but I said that if you get tonight really well, you might not need the other sessions. You might even say inena komboka. Okay, but of course, I will encourage you to be in the other sessions because they will be of a blessing to you. However, I want you to know that this session is a defining session. And if you understand everything that I'm teaching this night, you will be blessed moving forward. Okay? So I am talking about bringing or birthing revival by light. Now, I want us to start our journey from Matthew chapter number 16. Okay? Matthew chapter number 16. And Matthew 16, and we'll start from verse 13. Matthew 16. From verse 13, yes, I am recording, thank you. Okay, so we will start our journey from Matthew chapter number 16, verses 13 to 19, which reads, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, okay, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Let's read Ephesians chapter number 1, verses number 16 to 19. Ephesians chapter number 1. It says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Okay, what are those prayers? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. Now, okay, so we are going to start our journey from these particular two portions of scripture, and then I'll begin to expound from them. Okay, so I'm talking about birthing or bringing revival by light. Now, it's very, very important for you to understand as I begin that I'll use light, synonymously to revelation. Okay, so when I'm talking about light, I'm basically talking about something being revealed, something being brought forth. So when you hear me say light, I'm typically talking about revelation. Now, in revival, it's very, very important for you to understand that there's a way in which revival is birthed. Now, there are many things that spark revival. There are many things that bring revival to a generation or to a particular dispensation. So if revival is going to come to a particular dispensation, there are many things that trigger the revival to come into view. One of the things that triggers revival to come to a dispensation is what we call revelation or light. So when God wants to send revival, when he wants to send a particular move in a particular generation, one of the things of which he stares is what is referred to as light. Okay, so if he wants to bring something, he will bring light first. He will bring revelation of that particular thing of which he wants to establish. Now, we see this in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 16, 13 to 19. Jesus is about to establish this institution called the church. Now, before he establishes this institution, he was not just going to start it. He started it with a question first. And the question was, who do you believe that I am? Or who do you say that I am? Okay, so they started responding. Okay, well, some say you are Elijah. Some are saying this. Some are saying that. Some are saying you are Jeremiah. Okay, others are saying you are like one of the other prophets. But then he asked them, who do you say that I am? Well, then Simon Peter arose and responded, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this very revelation that you have caught of who I am, I will establish my church. So even the church was established on the foundation of the revelation of Jesus being the Messiah. So they wanted to start the church, but they didn't just start it because they felt like starting it. No, the church was founded and started off on the revelation of Jesus being the Messiah. So every time God wants to orchestrate something, every time God wants to bring something, he brings it on the account of light and revelation. Okay? He brings it on the account of light and revelation. So it's very, very important for you to understand that when God wants to bring in something, he will bring it on the account of light and revelation. And so we are in a generation where many people don't understand the power of revelation or the power of light. Okay, are we together? You know, I kind of need to see the comment section for me to know we're together. Sometimes when I'm not seeing people respond, I feel maybe my network is bad, and so mentally it disturbs me. So if we are together, I'd love to be hearing you in the in-call messages. That would really, really be great for you and I. So thank God. Please, even if you are saying following, I think that would be good for me, because with these terrible networks that people have these days. Yeah. So the church was founded on the account of the revelation that Peter got of the Messiah. Now, it's very, very important for us to understand that revelation or light is a system that allows for things to happen. Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, one of the things he prays for is that, I am praying that God our Father, okay, God our Lord, I'm asking that God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that what? So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, okay, for the riches of his glorious inheritance. It means that if you are lacking light, you will not even know the riches of the glorious inheritance that is allotted to you. So in revival, one of the things that is very cardinal is light and revelation. When revelation and light comes, you will discover that certain realities begin to unlock, because light is a system that allows for things to begin to happen. So there are certain things that have been unlocked, that have been locked in certain spaces, and they only get unlocked on the occasion that that generation finds light. So any revelation or light that a generation is obscure to, they will not see the manifestation of that particular reality. So what we are not seeing in this particular generation is because we have not yet received light for. So things in God are hidden in light. And once the light shines on those gray areas, those manifestations begin to happen. So much of what we are seeing, for example, one of the lights that was missing in our generation was the light concerning long prayer. We had read about it, okay, not just in our generation, let me say in our nation. We had read about it, we had heard about it, we had seen it on videos, but there was very little templates within our own sphere and space that showed us that it's possible to pray long. Until people began to press in and push into light, concerning long prayer, and that long prayer is possible. And then when that generation caught light, all of the sudden, a reality that was so obscure from the nation of Zambia is now open, that it's no longer shocking these days to say that you will be praying for 24 hours. But before light came, it was almost like when you tell someone we are praying for 24 hours, they almost can't believe you. They will say, that is not right. In fact, many people would say, because we'd usually start on a Friday ending into Saturday, many people believed it was a two-day prayer meeting where we pray today, go on break, then come back the next day. Because people could not just believe that people can pray from 18 hours on a Friday all the way up until 18 hours on a Saturday. The reason why they did not think that is possible, it was hidden until light came. And when light came, that reality unlocked for the nation. And all of a sudden, a generation can tarry for 24 hours and even more, because light has come. So light is a system that allows for things to happen, because God leaves things in places where light is found. So when Peter got a revelation from God, it led to the establishment of the church. When he got a revelation from God, it led to the establishment of the church. God's divine strategy to orchestrate an awakening and revival has not changed. He still does it by light. Okay, so everything we are doing, for example, even when you begin to pray, okay, you are praying because light towards prayer has come. So God begins by light first. He will give light concerning a particular area, and then you will begin to practice the thing of which the light of God has shone upon. So it's very, very important for you to understand that God begins by light. He established the church by light. He established it by revelation. There was a revelation that Peter caught, and on that rock, the church was established. So God's divine strategy to orchestrate an awakening, to orchestrate revival, has not changed. He still does it by light. So it's very, very important for us to understand that manifestation is preceded by light. Okay? Manifestation is preceded by light. So every reality you want to manifest has got light that governs it. The moment you catch the light that governs that manifestation and you begin to practice it, you will see that manifestation will be a byproduct, because there is a law in the spirit, and that law is that the God you know is the God you will show to your generation. So if you do not know God as the one who answers by fire, no matter how much you call fire down from heaven, if you have not caught light of God being the God who answers by fire, you will not see him manifest in your life like that. If you have not caught light of God being the one who sits in heaven and laughs, you will not have that manifestation within the context of your life. If you have not caught revelation of God being a God of war, you will be in a place, because you may the only light you may have is that, you know, he is a lamb. You may also not know that he is also a lion. And so when you need the lion to roar, you will find that you will suffer much calamity, because all you knew of God is that he is a lamb. Okay, but when you now start to get light of the fact that he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, you will notice that when warfare arises, you can have him step into your situation as the lion of the tribe of Judah, because you have caught that particular light. So light will precede manifestation, because the God you know is the God you will show. So every time we are praying and saying, oh Lord, we are calling on to you, send your fire. Okay, send your fire. You are praying that prayer on the account of the fact that you have caught light, that he is the God that answers by fire. So it's very, very important for you to understand that light will always precede manifestation. When you catch the light, it will necessitate that certain things begin to manifest. So in revival, when you see revival break out in a certain group, it's because there is a certain light they have caught that is allowing for that revival to break out. When you see revival, don't copy the practices of revival. copy the light that they caught in the revival that is allowing for the manifestation to happen. When you see, for example, someone who ministers, and maybe you like the way they minister, you like the way they flow, you like how God uses them, don't copy how they move, don't copy how they do their hand, don't copy how they dance, don't copy how they move on stage and all those, you know, gestures that they have. Don't copy those. Find the light they caught. What is the light they caught that is allowing for the manifestation they are seeing? If you don't catch light, you will be frustrated. You will talk like a certain group of people, behave like a certain group of people. However, you will discover you will not manifest what they are manifesting. And the reason is because that is because that you have not caught the light that they have caught. So you must catch the light. What is the light they have caught? When God started to reveal this to me, I remember there was a time in which I've shared this several times. There was a time in which I was taken to heaven. And when I was taken to heaven, I got to this place. When I arrived in this place that I was taken to, and I'm saying this for those that have not heard the testimony. You know, when I was taken to heaven, I found myself in this place. And, you know, the angels that were in the place that I found myself to in, found myself in heaven asked me a question. And the question they asked me is, what is your name? And I responded, I am Cham Chilombo. And the angels began to laugh at me. And I was wondering why they were laughing, because I am Cham Chilombo. And why are they laughing at me? So one of them looked at me and said, well, that is your name on earth. What is your name here in heaven? Then I said, well, I don't know. Then they said, well, here we call you the bridge. And I said, okay, I didn't know that. Okay, here we call you the bridge. And the reason we call you the bridge is because your assignment is to bridge heaven and earth. Okay, and the core scripture of your life is Matthew 6:10, which is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as long as you catch the light, and that scripture exploded within my heart. Okay, it exploded. I'd been reading When Heaven Invades Earth by Bill Johnson. I'd been seeing this scripture on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. But nothing about my life was representing that particular scripture until that vision came and it exploded the light within my spirit. And I knew that my life was a bridge that bridges two dimensions in one space. I allow two dimensions to be bridged in one space and to be forged into that particular space. So I then knew that because this light has exploded in my spirit, everything about my life after that became heaven and earth. Heaven and earth experiences. Heaven and earth experiences. Heaven and earth experiences. I began to notice that the anointing would flow even stronger on such a subject. Okay, let me give you this as a side note rant. You must understand also that there are certain subjects of which the anointing flows stronger on your life. Okay, there are certain subjects, you must notice some of those subjects, and I hope maybe we can address this within the context of this seminar. There are certain subjects where the anointing is much more stronger. For me, when I begin to talk about heaven invading the earth, the anointing is much thicker on my life because I caught light from that particular scripture, Matthew 6:10. Sometimes I'll just begin to utter it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I remember in one of the meetings, I was just speaking it out. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And the power of God exploded in the meeting. It didn't explode because I was saying your kingdom come, your will be done. No, it exploded because light precedes manifestation. I caught light of Matthew 6:10. And the moment I began to speak that scripture, all of heaven came to my aid and started rippling into the earth, because a man who carries light has placed a demand on a particular scripture. When you catch light, you will become dangerous. Okay, you will become dangerous. Men of old caught light. The realities they saw in God were as a result of the fact that they caught certain lights. Haven't you read the story of a man called E.W. Kenyon? I don't know if you guys know who E.W. Kenyon is. Okay, I was reading a story of E.W. Kenyon, and I discovered that E.W. Kenyon pastored a church for 25 years. Okay, he pastored a church for 25 years, and in 25 years, no one in that church died. Okay, he pastored a church for 25 years, and for 25 years, no one in the church died. It's not a small congregation. This is a large congregation, and for 25 years, no one died in that church. What was E.W. Kenyon and his church doing? All that they caught was light on the new creation. New creation reality. He that is in Christ is a new creature. That was the only light they caught. And on the account of that light, they could not see death. 25 years, no one died in that church. One time it was said that an evangelist came and visited his church. He was to hold a meeting. So the evangelist came to the church and the evangelist was hosting a meeting in that particular church. So the evangelist felt a heavy unction of the anointing. And the evangelist started declaring healing. I declare healing. This happens. This happens. Deaf ears open. This happens. This happens. Then he now said, if you have gotten healed, come to the front. No one was coming. If you've gotten healed, come to the front. No one is coming. If you've gotten healed, come to the front. No one is coming. So he then asked, what is going on? Then E.W. Kenyon went to him and said, well, it's not that you have lost the anointing. The anointing is still very strong over your life, but we just don't have sick people here. Because a man caught light of the new creation. When you catch light of the new creation, you become unstoppable. I mean, well, generally when you catch light of a reality anyway, but what they caught is light of new creation realities. That is all he taught, new creation realities. And for 25 years in a church, no one died. Why? Light. Okay, T.O. Osborne. I don't know if you know of T.O. Osborne. T.O. Osborne had a deep revelation of the love of God. What T.O. Osborne caught was a revelation of God's love. Okay? A revelation of God's love. All that T.O. Osborne caught was a revelation of God's love. When T.O. Osborne would teach on the love of God, it was said that cripples, okay, cripples would leave, the wheelchairs, as T.O. Osborne was teaching on the love of God. He would teach on the love of God and people would leave wheelchairs. He's not releasing any fire. He's not saying fire, fire, fire. No. He is just teaching on the love of God and people are leaving wheelchairs. And many people were interviewed and they were being asked, why is it that when you teach, people leave wheelchairs? You know, many people were attesting to the fact that when they heard the man teach on the love of God so exploded within their hearts. You know, there are those words that enter your heart and they explode inside. He would teach on the love of God and the word of God would explode to the point that people would experience such a deep sense of love. And they would leave the wheelchair saying, the love that I've heard this man teach, if God loves me so much, he cannot want to keep me on a wheelchair. The way I've heard the love of God taught, if God loves me this much, he cannot want me blind. My eyes will then now open. Boom! And the eyes open. Why? Because a man taught the love of God. Many of you feel, you know, what you need is strange things to begin to move in the miraculous, to occasion a revival. What you need is light. Just catch light of a particular scripture. Catch light of a particular reality and begin to manifest it. That is why people are trying to, you know, trying to brand themselves a certain way because they feel the branding is what will make things work. You know, someone will come, you know, it's not for a rainbow. I'm not for a rainbow. Not for a rainbow. When I come with a shiny shoe, that's when they will see that a man of God who moves in healing has come. No, when you catch light, you will not have to start branding yourself. You will start talking the love of God and people's ears will be popping open because they are saying, this God loves us so much. You know, people's eyes are opening. This God loves us so much. If he loves us this much, we can't remain blind. We can't remain in our wheelchairs. You know, because you have caught light. Stop finding, wasting. People are wasting too much time trying to, you know, create an impression, trying to make people look at them in a certain way. So, asango muntu ali Diana kamushishi ali ocha kamushi ali kabwesha kunuma. Because catch light. Don't waste time. You know, when you see Pastor Chris, he has done his hair, he's put it at the back. Now, asendo tumishishi wa ocha. Yeah, just uleo, wala ona ula scalp yove. Okay, the man has caught light. When you catch the light he has caught,
You will not need to worry about doing your hair also. You will come with that very afro. You will come with the way you are looking, and you will be speaking, and miracles will be breaking out. Miracles will be breaking out. Miracles will be breaking out. You will not need to speak like him. You will not need to even, you know, behave like him. You will not need to do things the way he is doing them. But if you catch the light he has caught, you will manifest the reality he is manifesting. Okay, abantu maskao pia alipoama miracles tale chitika palace to have the guy they want to pray for, because no, pastor, my scalp is damaged, pray for me. What happened? No, I was trying to manifest the miraculous. That is not how it works. The prophetic does not work because you said, can I? No, it works because you have caught light of the prophetic realm. Okay, you know, that's how it works. It works because you have caught light. Okay, the power in prayer does not, you know, it's not shown because you learn how to so you just damage your voice. Power in prayer will be seen when you just begin to make utterances, You have caught the light in the power of prayer. Haven't you heard of what was said of John Knox? It was said of John Knox that the Queen of Scotland said that she was more afraid of John Knox's prayer than, you know, 1,000 armies. Okay, she was more afraid of John Knox praying. Why? She knew that this guy called John Knox caught light on prayer. And when he caught light on prayer, when the man prays, things happen because he has caught light. Okay, so many people caught light. I was listening to a testimony by Patricia King. She was teaching on angels. Okay, so she was saying that her and her ministry, they were meditating, you know, on the scripture in Hebrews. Aren't all angels ministering spirits? Aren't angels all ministering spirits? Aren't angels all ministering spirits sent forth to the heirs of salvation? They were meditating on that scripture. Aren't all angels ministering spirits sent forth to the heirs of salvation? Aren't all angels They were meditating on that scripture until it exploded within them. They caught light concerning that particular scripture. That it was said that as they were meditating on that scripture, an angel was dispatched by the name Swift. Okay, many of you have heard me talk about this angel. An angel was dispatched by the name Swift. Okay, and the assignment of this angel was to make sure that every project that they were running moves swiftly. Every project they have moves swiftly. And many other people who have talked about Swift as an angel coming to them, they say the angel looks like a white horse, you know, a white horse that moves very fast. Okay, the angel just looks like a white horse that moves very fast, for those that have described this particular angel. Okay, and everything in their ministry was moving swiftly. Why? Because she caught a revelation. Aren't all angels ministering spirits sent forth to the heirs of salvation? Light is not just head knowledge. Okay, it's very, very important for us to understand. Light is not just head knowledge, but a key in the spirit to unlock a reality in God and then dispatch it to your world. So light is not just the head knowledge. Oh, no, I know this. I know too many scriptures. No. Light is a key, okay? Is a key that unlocks different realities in the spirit, and then you dispatch that reality to your generation, to your world. That is why the devil fights light. He knows that if you catch light, you can change the trajectory of your generation. He is fighting light because when you fight light is a key. It unlocks a reality. That is why he is trying to keep many of you into arguments. You're just arguing with people. You have no light whatsoever. All you are doing is just arguing with people. The devil doesn't have a problem with you knowing too many things. What he is fighting is light. He doesn't care if you have 100 scriptures, but when you start to press into light, he will start to resist you, because he knows that a light bearer comes to a generation, that generation can turn upside down, because a light bearer has come to that particular generation. Don't you know that there are many people who, you know, have got so many scriptures, but you're wondering, with all these scriptures that they have, why is it that their life is not changing? They are lacking light. Some of these other congregations, you know, that love arguing a lot, you will notice when you sit down and you are discussing scriptures with them, you will discover they have scriptures. They have scripture after scripture after scripture. Even you don't know the scriptures. They'll tell you, no, let's go to this one. They have scriptures, but their lives are not changing. Meanwhile, you will notice, even though they make fun of us, they will say, "Ah, pente, tawai shwama scripture." Sometimes you find the pente you are laughing at, say, "Tawai shwama scripture." Maybe the light he just has is one light. He just has light on the power of praying in tongues. That's the only light he has. Yet with that light, he's living a holy life. With that light, he's seeing miracles happen. Meanwhile, when you ask him about other scriptures, he may not know so much. But he has one light that he is using to dominate in many spheres because he has caught a particular light. So the devil doesn't care that you have too many scriptures. Okay, he doesn't care about that. What he's afraid of is that when you start to catch light, I can assure you, many revivalists of old changed their generation with just one light. If you check many revivalists, and I took some time to read the account of many revivalists, okay? I took time to read the accounts of many revivalists. And one of the things I discovered is that many revivalists did not necessarily know too much. If anything, many revivalists, you would discover some of their messages, okay, were a bit off. Okay, when you hear messages like sinners in the hands of an angry God, though powerful, you will notice that the grace of God is not balanced so well in that message. But then the person caught one light. Okay, they taught a message and that message shook the world because they caught light. But when you listen to some of the messages of the people of God, you know, because I used to hear of a lot of these revivalists, and then I started listening to their messages. A lot of their messages were off, but you are wondering, how did they become so mighty with, you know, having so many things that are off within their messages, yet they shook their world? It was just light. They just had light of one scripture and held on to it. Some people caught light of, you know, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all. That's the only light they caught. And they shook their world. But you may find other things are off. Okay? Many revivalists did not have so much. You know, now you find, you know, these days, we have people that know too many things, but don't have even one light. Revelations, you know, the egos, the shiny, they are explaining too many things. No result whatsoever. There is no result whatsoever to show that they have some sort of light. It shows that a generation is in obscurity. Okay? People know too much. And these days we are too fed. That is why in this revival seminar, don't just be here for the humor. Don't just be here for the stories. Don't just be here to hear something deep. Be here for light. If you pick even one light, your life will change. Your life will change. Sometimes, you know, I sit down with many people. I remember in my early days in ministry, I would sit down with many people and many of them would be saying, "Man of God, you are such a man of God." And they would be sitting down discussing with me and they would be explaining things in the Bible that I don't know. They're explaining things. And then you're wondering, how is it that you don't know these things in the Bible? How is it that you don't know this? How is it that you don't know this? How is it that you don't know this? I said, well, I don't know too many things. I'm still learning. But the one light I've caught, which is Matthew 6:10, that one, I am using it. I'm allowing heaven to invade every space I'm in. Why? Because I have caught that light. Meanwhile, you find there are people talking too many things. They don't even have one light. No light. Catherine Kuhlman only had one light. Okay? Catherine Kuhlman only had one light. It was just one light that she caught. She didn't have too many, just one light. And you know the light that Catherine Kuhlman, the light that Catherine Kuhlman caught was the light that the Holy Ghost is a person. That is the light she caught. Catherine Kuhlman was in a dispensation where many people knew the Holy Ghost as a force, a wind, a power. Okay? Catherine Kuhlman went into the scriptures and caught revelation of the fact that the Holy Spirit is a personality. Okay, some of the old literatures, when you read some of the old literature, you will find that they refer to the Holy Spirit as a wind, you know, and you may be wondering, why is it that it was the revelation of their time. But Catherine Kuhlman arose in her generation and caught one light, and the light was that he is a person. He is a person. And even when you watch her videos, the way she's relating to the Holy Spirit, you are literally drawn to jealousy by what type of relationship does this person have with. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, he is all I have, because she caught that light of the Holy Spirit being a person. Now, what that did is that it affected even her healing ministry. Because remember, in her dispensation, all the healing evangelists, the way in which they would minister healing is that they minister healing through the laying on of hands. Okay? That is why you notice, if you've watched some of the healing revival videos of old, of the 70s and somewhere there, you will notice that most of the healing revival meetings of the 60s and 70s, many of them, you will see that on stage, the revivalist or the healing evangelist has got a chair. There's literally a chair where the person is sitting, many of them. And the reason is that usually the healing lines would be long. Okay, we were told of John G. Lake. John G. Lake would have healing lines that were as long as a mile, you know, 6 miles. Okay, a healing line that is as long as 6 miles. So he would have to sit, because he has to lay hands on all of them. He had a revelation that if I'm to minister to the sick, I am to lay hands on them and, you know, transmit the power of God into their being. But when Catherine Kuhlman came, Catherine Kuhlman said, wait, if the Holy Ghost is a person, it means that seeing he's a person, he can move in the atmosphere even without me laying hands on people. That changed her healing ministry. Now Catherine Kuhlman goes into a meeting and she doesn't have to lay hands on everyone, because she's caught light. And the light she has caught is that the Holy Ghost is a person. And seeing he's a person, he can move through an entire auditorium. So she would now just stand and say, "Thou power of God, move." And within seconds, within minutes, okay, thousands of people would be healed. Light brings ease. If you have no light, you will be struggling in things that are supposed to be easy. When I first started ministry, all I knew was the dimension of, if I am to pray for people or if I'm to transmit the power of God in people's lives, all I have to do is lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. I have to lay hands on them. And it would delay the meetings. Sometimes you are at the end of the meeting and then you realize time has moved. You've got a huge altar call that you have to lay hands on everyone, lay hands on everyone, lay hands. I said, Lord, is this the only dimension that is there? Then I started watching some people and I started seeing that there was a different texture and dimension of ministry. I said, I need this thing. Then I started studying on the glory realm. These are the things, and some of the things I'll be saying. And for these revival seminars, a part of what the revival seminars do is that they also give you what I would refer to as roadmaps. So I may mention something, you just take note of it and you go and study it further, okay? Because I may not address it within the seminar. So the two things I started studying the glory realm, and I also started studying the corporate anointing. Okay, because the individual anointing rests on an individual, but the corporate anointing rests over the congregation. So I was studying the corporate anointing, and I was also studying the glory realm. Okay, and I went back to Genesis, studying how the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, and then the Lord spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. So I started studying this ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know, where he can hover over a particular place and waiting for a declaration. And when you make a declaration, Wallace is hovering, he carries out the declaration and brings it to life. I started understanding this thing and light exploded. I came to one realization, my ministry will never be the same. I had received an upgrade. All of a sudden, I went to a meeting. I didn't need to say, "Everyone who needs this, come." All I did was, in the name of Jesus, everyone that is in this place, that is longing for this anointing, I release it over your lives. And pow, 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 within seconds, things have happened. Okay, things have happened within seconds. Why? Because of light. So because of that Catherine Kuhlman light of the Holy Spirit being a person, healing ministries started to take on that same shape, same form of ministry. Oral Roberts took on that similar shape. Even though Oral Roberts was shocked by Catherine Kuhlman's ministry, because he also would lay hands on people. So many people started taking on that shape. Imagine men like Reinhard Bonnke. Okay, imagine men like Reinhard Bonnke. You know, when he would have crusades, he has 1.5 million people. Okay? Excuse me. He has 1.5 million people in his crusade. Assuming 500,000 of the 1.5 million are sick. Mukapwishali sok pepe la bantu. You will die in that meeting, sir. Okay? You will arrive in Zion with Paul, Peter, and all these other guys. And they will say, ah, yeah. Nachukua chi healing meeting. Echa ndeta kuno. Healing meeting yako leta kuno. You would, so you must catch that certain life. You notice Reinhard Bonnke, and you know the way the Sifan guys do stuff? They'll just preach a bit. After they preach a bit, they'll just start, cursing all the infirmities, you know, taking authority against sicknesses, taking authority against demons. You just see them speaking. They'll just be saying, you know, we take authority over the atmosphere. We take authority over deaf and dumb spirits. Deaf ears open. This happens. They'll make declarations sometimes for 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, you will be shocked at the testimony. You would almost think it's staged. It's a dimension, sir. It's a dimension that came by light. When you catch light, there are certain realities that are available to us. Let's just find the light that governs those particular dimensions. Okay, so God will always release light. You know, God will always release light in reference to the reality of which he wants to achieve in that particular generation or dispensation. So God will always release diverse types of light based on what he wants to achieve in that generation and dispensation. Okay, so now light is twofold. For those that love taking note, light is twofold. The first first dimension or texture of light is what we call general light. Okay, so general light is light that we all catch generally. For example, you can all catch light on healing. It's general. Okay, then there is peculiar light. So general light covers general areas of interest. Peculiar light has specificity in its operation. So general light covers general areas of interest. Peculiar light has got specificity in its operation. So it's possible that you can have general light on healing, but you have not moved into a dimension we call specificity, which is peculiar light. Okay? It is like how in medicine, have you noticed in medicine, we have doctors that are just doctors, they're medical doctors, and then we have what we refer to as specialists. They specify, so you just find he's a doctor generally, but he has also specified in nerves. Okay, he has specified in the brain. They are specialists. Okay, so the same is true even with light. You will notice as you check yourself, you may notice that for you, the light you currently have is just general light. Maybe you just have a general light of healing. Okay, yeah, you know, by his stripes we were made well. So, you know, on the account of, you know, that particular scripture, all of us are entitled to healing. So you just have general light. However, you have not moved into peculiar light. Peculiar light will allow for specificity, specific conditions. And you need to add specificity to your ministry. You need to add specificity to your healing ministry. You may need to add specificity in the revival. So God will now give you specificity when you get peculiar light. And we need people that can specify in some weird conditions. Because I'm telling you, there are some weird conditions and we need someone to catch light. And you see, when you catch light in that area, everyone will be complaining and saying, this area is difficult to deal with. But the one who has caught the light of that particular issue, they deal with it easily. There are some people you will catch light concerning conditions that have no solution. Some will catch light concerning womb opening. People are complaining, no, we can't have children, we can't have you can literally decide, I will hold a meeting, I will hold a seminar to open wombs. You call for government complex, everyone is packed, and everyone lives in that place with their wombs boom, open. After some months, all of them have children because someone has caught light on how the womb actually opens. You start to specify in light and you bring it to your generation. Some of you must catch light with issues that are as complex as autism. You know, children are being born with autism, and there is no one with that light to bring an occasion change for that particular situation. Some of you should catch light for suicidal cases, that if they bring someone suicidal to you, it's almost like drinking water, because you have caught light in that area. Wasn't it Mariah Woodworth Etta, Amy Semple McPherson? She would have meetings for stretchers only. She caught light to the point that she can have so much confidence to say, this meeting that I'm having is for stretchers only. If you're not on a stretcher, you are not allowed in the meeting. Now imagine, you know how sometimes, let me give you an example. Have you noticed how that, you know, as men of God, when we are having meetings, even myself, when we are having meetings, sometimes you are praying over a condition, it's not changing. You pray over a condition, it's not changing. We move to another thing. Maybe we do something like impart. Okay, now, what God is going to do is that he's releasing fire. Mwashama kese zaya, ayadikukside. Okay, so we are now moving to fire. Now, imagine you are Amy Semple McPherson, and all the people in the meeting have got the similar condition. So you can't say, if we leave this one, we'll go to this other condition. All of them have got the same condition. So how are you going to run away from it? You know, there are certain times I remember, you know, in many meetings, I'll be praying for someone. What is going on? Nothing is changing. What is going on? Nothing is changing. Okay, we'll just move to the side. Okay, so now, congregation, we are now going into impartation. Lift your hands. The boys arise. They pokere like. They receive. And the meeting goes on. But imagine you have stretchers only. This ministry thing, so when you're seeing a man of God to the front, don't think it's just easy. It takes a lot to represent God in that particular dimension. So, light, you must catch light. I don't know what area you have been feeling. Maybe you can mention if you've had a burden for it, and maybe during the course of this meeting, I may start to find, you know, certain keys I can add on to at least have you catch that light, or, you know, give you some direction. Maybe look for this book, or look for this. You know, I don't know if there are areas in which, yes, you are saying warfare, but that's general, Caleb. So, you know, that's you're still talking about, you know, you're still talking about light in the general sense. I want you to say, if you're talking about warfare, you are saying the warfare I want to deal with, okay, is for maybe, let's take for example, or maybe light to deal with erectile dysfunction. Because we are having challenges. People are going to witch doctors. No, you know, it's this enlargement, this, you know, 12 rounds. Kwa la mama medication ya pusana pusana, 12 rounds, chan, you know, all these, mwana peluke, all these, you know, 7 days. You know, there was a guy that was saying, no, there's a thing we drink, it's called 7 days. I said, what is this? How, you know, how are you even productive? How can you be productive with life? You know, how can you be productive with life when you want to have 7 days? You know, but then you must catch light. I'm telling you, there are people with peculiar conditions. Someone must catch light that you will be shocked at the revival you have, because people are having challenges. You call for that meeting and you will be shocked that you can pack a stadium with it. Light. So peculiar conditions. Okay, so some people must catch light for peculiar conditions. Personally, I have been bothered by one issue. I have been bothered by autism. I have been bothered by it. I have been bothered by it. There was a time I remember, you know, I think a couple brought an autistic child at home, and I was just looking and I felt really terrible. I prayed, nothing happened, if I'm to be totally honest. You know, in fact, I was trying to now encourage myself, say, Cham, right now start, because I was praying, nothing is happening. Then I just now, you know, started looking for an explanation. So I'm now thinking, so I now said, you know, what will now happen here is that God will start working on the boy. Was it a boy or a girl? I can't remember. God will start working on him. But I could see the disappointment on the parents, even though they took my advice. I could see the disappointment on their faces as they were walking out of my house. You know, I could just see the disappointment on their faces. And I said, Lord, now that in itself should give you drive. Okay, Apostle Isaac is asking, which one is autism? I don't even know how to explain it. Someone explain, the medical people.
So the medical people explain that one. Okay, so the I'm trying to explain it well, but anyway, you push it on Google, man of God, after this. So it's not an interesting condition, if I'm to be totally honest. It's not an interesting condition, and there's no healing for it. Okay, there is no healing for it. But I felt bad about it. And I said, Lord, I need that you'd give me light for some of these conditions. Okay, some people are saying homosexual cases. I like that. Jabulani says homosexual cases in universities. Yes, we need light for that. Okay, we need people to catch light. Okay, we need people to catch light for issues dealing, you know, for issues. You know, we are having many homosexuals now. Many, 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 many homosexuals. Many homosexuals. Okay, and it's sad to see many homosexuals. Very, very, very sad to see many homosexuals. Okay, I was, you know, just the other day, you know, I was dealing with someone, you know, a pastor who is homosexual in a reputable church whose name I will not mention, a pastor who is homosexual, and he is in charge regional. He is in charge of the teens and the youths of that congregation. Okay, so this is a peculiar case. Okay, we need people who deal with this. We need it's so sad. Okay, very, very sad. It's very, very sad, and the person is not repentant. Okay, they're not repentant, but many people are suffering on the account of this particular person. So we need many people that will arise. Imagine a pastor who is homosexual dealing with teens, dealing with youths. A reputable congregation, you know, someone may even be part of it. Okay, reputable, but you're not wondering, how do we deal with these cases? We need people that will catch light to deal with these issues. We need people who deliver all these people on Facebook doing all these strange things. Okay, light. So we must catch light. Okay, let's move a little bit more. So peculiar light, we need to catch peculiar light. So I don't know who is thinking at the scale God is thinking at. I don't know what you are thinking of. I don't know the light you want to catch in terms of general and peculiar lights. As you are listening to this sermon, I want you to write down the types of light you want to catch, the peculiar conditions. Some of you, the light you may catch is just that every time people come into contact with you, even if they have been single for years, they'll marry, because it's light. You have caught it. You know, and if you catch that one, your ministry can blow fast. You will stop wasting time, because there are some people we have prayed over. Okay, but someone must catch light. You must catch peculiar light for some of these issues. Okay, so okay, why should we catch light? Before we go into how, maybe let's deal with why. Maybe I'll see where I'll end on tonight. Okay, before we go into the how you can actually catch light, maybe let's deal with why you should catch light. Number one, light gives insight on what is available. Okay, light will give insight on what is available. So without light, you not know what is available. Number two, light generates faith. So every time light comes over an area, it generates faith. Number three, light unlocks realities in God that were long hidden. I hope you're writing. Okay, light unlocks realities in God that were long hidden. Number four, light gives dominion over darkness. It gives dominion over darkness. That is why you realize when light kicks in, darkness immediately flees. Okay, when light kicks in, darkness flees. So light will give you dominion over darkness. The reason why certain levels of darkness are prevalent over your life is that there is no light in that area. Okay? Number one, light gives insight on what is available. Seeing you're saying I'm fast. It gives insight on what is available. Number one. Number two, light generates faith. Number three, light unlocks realities in God that were long hidden. Light unlocks realities in God that were long hidden. Number four, light gives dominion over darkness. I was saying that some of the things that we are seeing as darkness, okay, some of the things we are seeing as darkness that are dominating over us is because we don't have light. Many people, even today, who are doing warfare as victims because they don't have light, that you are not the victim. Okay, the Bible says the gates of Hades shall not prevail. You are not the victim, Matthew 16. In fact, in warfare, you are not the victim. The enemy is the one that should be feeling like a victim. But many times, many of us are in a place where we feel we are the victims. We are the ones defending ourselves from the devil. No. Once I caught light that the devil is the one that is defending himself from me, it exploded in my spirit. I knew that I carry so much. God is all powerful. If God is all powerful, why is it that I am the one who's always playing, you know, the victim? No, I'm defending myself from the devil. The devil is attacking me. I realized that he is the one that should be thinking, if charm comes in my space, I am doomed. You know, they should tell of stories of the great terrors of this guy. But we don't, okay, but you know the way you talk about witches, but okay, mfuiti nzoipa. That's how they should be talking about you. But you know, ujamuntu no samwa. They should be saying, Isaac, no pusa, ujamuntu akapempela che, kumankala confusion. Those are the terror. They should feel the terror. When they are talking about you, they should feel the terror, okay? They should feel the terror because you are not the victim. When I caught that light, it exploded within me. It exploded within me that I am not the victim. So there was a light which made me dominate over darkness. Okay? I sleep more peacefully knowing that I am not the one who is the victim. Some of you, because you are always looking at yourself as the victim. Remember, the God you know is the God you show. So if you don't know, you know, the reality of the fact that you are not on the defensive, you are actually on the offensive, you will always be afraid. But when you know that reality, you will sleep peacefully knowing that you are the one on the offensive. Okay? So you must catch light. Number five, light opens you up to the realm of encounters. Light opens you up to the realm of encounters. There were men in church history that caught so many encounters. Oh, I've read so many of these encounters, and I've just seen how, you know, God moved with, you know, many of these patriarchs and saints. You know, there was a man who caught a revelation for, there's a man who caught the revelation on the angelic, okay? And he was on a plane one time. He's on a plane one time, and he's seated next to this man who he later realized was an angel. And so he was trying to minister to this angel on the plane. He was a pastor. He's trying to minister to this angel, but he didn't know. He only knew later. He's trying to minister, but the guy, which is like the angel, is just brushing him off. He's trying to minister, but the guy is just brushing him off. And then, you know, he was wondering, why did this person just brush me off? So anyway, he left the plane, went to the meeting where he was going to minister. And again, I'll get the name. And again, this angel showed up. So he saw the man again. He said, the man who I was ministering to is here. Okay. And then the man appeared later on and told him, I am breakthrough. That was how the angel introduced himself. I am breakthrough. And every time you want breakthrough, you should call on to me. Okay. That was, you know, a breakout angel. Okay. Says, I am breakthrough. Now, he didn't know that. Okay, but this realm of encounters opened up because he caught light on how you press into encounters. Okay, he caught light on how you press into encounters. For example, there's another interesting guy I like. He's called Bobby Connor, but I also I love Bob Jones. Now, Bob Jones has got the weirdest stories. I don't know if you've ever come across Bob Jones's literature or people telling stories about Bob Jones. They are some of the funniest stories. You know, Bob Jones is this guy that when you meet, he's got baggy, you know, he's late anyway. He had baggy shirts, a very big jean, you know, seems to look like he didn't care with what he's not in tandem with life. You know, it was said of Bob Jones that when Jesus visits you, Bob Jones will know. Literally, he will call you and say, "Did you?" I think Rick Joyner had a visitation of Jesus, And Bob Jones called him and said, "Did Jesus visit you today?" And Rick Joyner is like, "Yes, but how did you know?" And Bob Jones said, "Well, I saw how the heavens were stared. You know, I woke up and I saw that the heavens were stared." And every time the heavens are stared in such a way, it's a sign that Jesus visited a man in our generation. And so he now is explaining to him what was happening. One time, Bob Jones is going to heaven. Like, he's just literally flying to heaven. Okay? He's going to heaven. And sometimes when you hear some of these stories, you'll be thinking you are far from these people. Okay, let me say that after. But then Bob Jones is just like flying to heaven, flying, woo, and he's flying to heaven. And then when he comes back from that encounter, he goes to talk to Bobby Connor. Okay, he goes to talk to Bobby Connor, and he's telling Bobby Connor, "Bobby Connor, did you receive a sword, okay, last night in an encounter? Okay, did you receive a sword last night in an encounter?" And Bobby Connor is like very shocked. He's like, "Yeah, I received a sword last night in a vision. I was given a sword by an angel." But then, you know, Bobby Connor is puzzled and he's asking, "But wait, how did you know I was given a sword in an encounter?" He said, "Oh yeah, last night as I was flying to heaven, I bumped into an angel and he was holding a sword. So I stopped him and I said, 'Where are you going?' The angel said, 'I'm going to earth. What are you doing with this sword?' He said, 'I'm going to give the, I've been assigned to give this sword to Bobby Connor. So I'm going to give it to him.'" So Bob Jones is like, "But I was very busy going on an assignment to heaven. So I told him, 'Okay, we'll talk later. I'll talk to Bobby Connor later. You should give him.' Then he went, phew." And then the angel gave Bobby Connor a sword. And the angel had told Bob Jones that that sword was a sword that was used by one of the warriors of old in the Bible. And it was needed for this particular dispensation. And so Bobby Connor was the one who was going to be assigned that sword. Now imagine Bob Jones is like flying to heaven and he sees an angel. "Where are you going?" "I'm going to earth." "What are you going to do?" "Well, I'm going to deliver this sword to Bobby Connor." I want to know. Because if you catch some of these lights, you will know what is happening in our generation. You will know that the rod of authority has been released over Zambia, because you sat in some of those places where some of these things were being deliberated. You must catch, you know, you may think your spiritual life is boring until you catch light. And some of these things that I'm saying, you may feel as though you are very far from them. You have just not caught peculiar light. Many of you are dwelling in the arena of general light. Meanwhile, there are some people whose lives are like a theater. It's like a film. When you read of a lady called Anna Rontry, you will be shocked. She's written a book called Warrior King, Priestly Bride. I can't remember the other one. When the Heavens Open or something like that. She lives in the Moravian Falls. Okay, she lives in the Moravian Falls. When you read of Anna Rontry's encounters, things happening, conversations with Jesus, interactions in it, you will be shocked. You will feel as though your Christian life has not started. You may want to say, "Lord, I want to give my life to the Lord again." But the reason is you can't experience this because you are dwelling in the realm of general light. Okay? Anyway, let me give you one way as to how you catch light. Then I think the other ones we will deal with tomorrow. Not quarter 5 days. Okay? 5 days is enough. It's like you have, you know, in the way when you marry, you want to do everything. Everything changanya. You know, like those when you are not married and you are single, you want to do everything in one day. You want to chat fiance, but when you are married, you even stop kushimika sana pa phone. Ma updates fe. Apomule isa mwise na mushita ko bunga. Kuno salad naipa. Okay, but when you are single, you must talk until you reach the realm of you hang up. Okay, I'll give you the count of three. Hang up. Then 1, 2, 3. Then Mose Mwashashalafe, mulepema, papo. You have not hung up. You're still here. Yeah, I thought you'd hang up. Love, yacha, iche. Marry. So this is like a marriage. 5 days is enough. It's like a marriage. Takuli kubiri mabiri ma. Panono. Tuwala kumana kunganda. Panono. Okay, so if we don't deal with everything tonight, we'll deal with everything tomorrow. Okay, so great. Let's deal with how to get light. Okay, I hate humor because every time I deal with humor, what I notice is that
it takes time. Sometimes you can be on a joke for 15 minutes. You're just on a joke for 15 minutes. Okay. Anyway, let's go into how you get light, and I'll just deal with one. Number one, how do you get light? Number one, you must have an unusual desire to discover the principle that governs a certain reality in God. Okay, how do you get light? You must have an unusual desire to discover the principle that governs a certain reality in God. Let me say that again. You must have an unusual desire to discover the principle or a principle that governs a certain reality in God. Now, it's important for you to understand that every reality in the spirit has instructions that governs it. Okay? Every reality in the spirit has instructions that governs it. Every realm in God has instructions that govern it. Every revival you want to bring has got instructions that govern it. That is why when you read the account of Samson, when you read the account of Samson in the book of Judges, I think it must be Judges 13, you read of how that when Manoah is given the prophetic instruction concerning the life of Samson and the assignment he would carry out, the question Manoah asks the angel is, what are the laws that will govern the boy's life? Because every reality that is granted to men has got instructions. And those instructions, once you discover them, that is what we are referring to as light. And so you must have an unusual desire, a very strange desire to discover a principle that is governing a certain reality. It should lead to holy curiosity. Some people work out of ABCD type of scriptures, but when you are teaching them, when they are in a meeting, they can't take notes. When the person is teaching, they can't listen. They can't go back and listen to audios. They are behaving as though they have arrived. Meanwhile, all they have is ABCD type of scriptures. You must have an unusual desire to discover certain principles. You must have holy curiosity. What is going on? Okay, if God loves us, what does it mean when we say, for God so loved the world that he gave? What does it really mean? You must have holy... Well, the moment you approach the scriptures with an I know it all attitude, the Holy Spirit won't reveal to you. Why will he reveal to you the things you already know? Or you already assume that you know? So those that are have revelation of the scriptures are those with holy curiosity. Holy Ghost, what are you saying? What does this scripture mean? The realm of Daniel must be restored, which is that you go into fasting asking for revelation. How many of you here ever took a scripture, okay, and you said, I'm taking this scripture in the presence of the Lord and I'll be fasting for 21 days. What I want to understand is Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all. You are trying to understand that light. 21 days, you are on that particular light. 21 days, you are in tongues. I'm telling you, when you catch that light, it will make everything in your life go to the next level. The reason why people are chasing after different things, they have no light. When you catch that light, your entire life may change. So you must have an unusual desire and must manifest in the way in which you behave. Merely wanting something is not enough. You need to apply the principles that govern a certain reality to kick it into motion. The spirit realm doesn't work on sentimentality, but laws and principles. Okay, laws, principles, and protocols. So the spirit realm is not working on sentimentality. You can cry all night. You can cry all night unless the principle you have engaged is the principle of crying. But I'm telling you, if crying is not a light, you can cry all night. You won't unlock anything because spirits are not sentimental. They don't work with sentimentalism. No, heaven doesn't respond to need. Heaven responds to practitioners of principles. Heaven responds to revelation and light. If heaven was responding to needs, I'm telling you, all of us would be rich today. Because all of us are in need of something. But you have seen that despite being in need, heaven is not responding. Because spirits don't work with sentimentality. They work with protocols, laws, and principles. If you catch the light that is governing that particular reality you want to manifest, all of a sudden you will notice things will begin to gravitate towards you. So stop after. Cry. After crying, go and find light concerning that particular area. Okay? Go and find light concerning that particular area. There are many times I've cried. Now, push off after 1 week of crying, nothing has changed. Then I know that, okay. Sometimes you even, I don't know, there are some people who even shed you crying. You shed you, it's not, nanafika kunganda, nalaya ndile pali situation. You shed you crying, nanafika kunganda, I'll just go and cry at least 5 minutes over this issue. You know, just cry. Spirits are not sentimental. That is why the devil, despite even you crying, for example, when he's attacking you, even when you cry, he will still attack you. Even when you cry, say, oh, no, chakali pisha, he still attack you. When you are crying also unto God, you say, you know, you're crying, and you feel that the angels will come in. If you don't follow the protocol that governs angelic activity, you will be crying and angels are longing to come into your sphere to help you, but they can't come in because you don't know the light that governs the operation of angels. So you must catch light. You must have an unusual desire because the spirit realm does not work on sentimentality. Okay, it's a hard pill to swallow. Yes, like a voice. It's a hard pill to swallow, but catch light. Catch light. You may even say, if you have not caught the light over that, that governs kingdom wealth, you can cry, mwele sana, chula, ine, mwene, no funde, chula, mwele sa, lelo nshachidia breakfast, lunch nshidire, mwele sa, nasapa nshidire. You can die crying if you don't catch the light that governs kingdom wealth. When you practice it, boom, everything unlocks. Because spirits are not sentimental, okay? They don't work with sentimentality. Just catch light. That is why these days, even when people come and they are telling me things like, Pastor, I'm suffering, and I discovered they don't follow the principles that govern kingdom wealth. Sometimes it looks like you are mean when you say you need to start giving, you need to start doing this. It looks like you are a mean person because you look like a stingy pastor. Someone is saying they are in lack and you are teaching them start giving. It looks like you are very greedy, but I realize that sometimes when you give someone something, it doesn't help them until they catch the light that governs that particular reality. So there are different types of lights. So there are people who unlock a place to the reality of God and bring it into a particular, bring that reality into a particular space. So there are certain people that will unlock a reality and a place to God. For example, men like Lou Engle, you know, men like Lou Engle, men like Franklin Ho, okay, they caught light on fasting. They caught light on fasting and they believed that you could shape nations through prayer and fasting. So that is why all this prayer and fasting thing, it was light that I caught from the light they caught. I went and I started reading and God revealed it to me also that you can shape a nation through prayer and fasting. If you want to shape a nation, don't obliterate prayer and fasting. In the book by Lou Engle, Shaping Nations Through Prayer and Fasting, they documented all the fasts that were declared, the solemn assemblies that were declared at national level in the US. So I have read of all the fasts that were declared at national level, like the way we have the National Day of Prayer and Fasting, and the things of which those fasts did. So they discovered that through prayer and fasting, you can shape nations. If you want to shape nations, you must add prayer and fasting to the recipe. So all of you that are trying to be national voices, you are trying to avoid prayer and fasting, stop wasting your time. Add this prayer and fasting thing. You will be shocked. So I discovered, let me tell, in fact, when we find another light on how to shape nations, we'll tell you, but the one that is there now is prayer. Don't run away from it. I discovered how these guys were doing 12-day fasts, 21 days on water and juice, 21 days on water alone, 45 days on water alone and juice sometimes, 45 days on water. I'm like reading this. No wonder they shaped nations. So stop wasting time, okay? You must find the light, okay? Let's conclude on this first point. So there are people that unlock certain realities to God, okay? There are people that unlock certain realities to God through light because they have that unusual desire. The pool of Bethesda, okay, for example, let me give you a quick example. The pool of Bethesda did not just happen, okay? So something like the pool of Bethesda, many people would think it just happened. No, someone had to unlock it and set that thing into motion. So everything that you are seeing that is continual, someone unlocked it and set it into motion, that at this particular time when the waters are stirred, you can jump in and this reality can happen. So there are certain people that unlock certain realities in God and set them in motion. Okay, what is it that you are going to unlock for your generation and set it in motion? When Jacob arrives at Bethel, okay, Jacob arrives at Bethel, he has an encounter there at Bethel. Why did he have an encounter at Bethel? Because a man called Abraham unlocked that reality by light. He understood the technology of altars, set that in motion, and that place became an open heaven where we have Jacob's ladder, angels ascending and descending. That when Jacob gets to Bethel, he has encounters because a man called Abraham years ago set it into motion. Okay, so things are not just happening. There are people that set certain realities in motion and have a generation experience them. For example, there were some guys at CBU, okay? There were some guys at CBU that started praying some, you know, I was not even there then, but I've heard the stories. They started praying and their prayer was this, and I think we'll conclude from here. Their prayer was this: Lord, let the Copper Belt University, okay? Let the Copper Belt University be a school that is not just a center of education, okay? That was their prayer. Let the Copper Belt University be a school that is not just a center of education, but a center where people catch encounters. So that was what they were believing God for. Lord, we want the Copper Belt University to be a place that is not just a center of education, but a place where people also, you know, catch encounters. So what these people decided to do, they started praying, and they went to the highest place, the highest point in the institution, and they anointed that place. And when they anointed that place, the supernatural broke out in the school, and miracles, signs and wonders, okay? And then they started going to this place called the Gardens, okay? It's still there up to today, okay? They went to this place, they started praying in this place called the Gardens, which is like a bush where you can go and pray. Some people are from CBU here, and so they know what I'm talking about. Even up to today, right now, anytime you go there, there's always someone praying at the Gardens, always. I don't know if they've lost the culture, but even last time I went there, you typically find someone praying. There's always someone praying at the Gardens, always. Okay, it's a huge, huge place, you know, where people just pray. People just go and pour out many of the things. It was because there were men that unlocked that reality and set it into motion. Now that place is a continual hub of prayer. It's a continual hub of prayer that even people like me went to CBU and we were implicated by arriving in that institution, because there were certain people that stared something, unlocked that reality by light that God gave them and set it into motion. It was at CBU that I first saw creative power. It was at CBU that I first saw creative power, arms growing. You know, I was praying one time, I just saw my arms push out. You know, and then I rushed to the room and I started growing people's legs, people's arms. You know, it was at CBU that first happened. It was at CBU that I first had my visitation of heaven and I was taken to Eden. It was at CBU that I was first taken to Eden. Okay, it was first at CBU that I first went to the Garden of Eden and the Lord took me to this beautiful, beautiful place. And I was wondering, what is this place? And I was told, this is the Garden of Eden. Room K2133 is where that encounter happened. And I went there the time, last time we were at CBU, and I found that the guys there, you know, I don't know if they're spiritual, but at least they love the Lord a bit. I even prayed over them, you know, and spoke words of blessing. Okay, that happened. Okay, it was at CBU that I first accessed the courts of heaven. The first time I ever was taken to the courts of heaven, you know, and I got to exercise, you know, my role in the courts of heaven, present a case there, you know, submit a case there, and execute judgment. It was first at CBU. Why? There were people that set it in motion, and the place became a hub of encounters, because there was someone who had an unusual desire to discover light over something, that they discovered that light and set it in motion for everyone. Okay, set it in motion for everyone. Some people will set in motion
you know, prayer moves that we've never seen before, like the Moravians who went and prayed for 100 years. Up until today, when you go to the Moravian Falls, people have encounters there. Because someone had an unusual desire to discover the principles that govern something, the light that governs something. Some of you, you may discover light that governs a certain dimension of prayer. Already, we have discovered light that governs long prayer. And we have set it in motion. Now marathons are spreading all over the country. People are praying all over. And we are happy that that has been set in motion by the grace of God. But I'm looking forward to people that will set things in motion. Is it healing? What dimension of healing will you set in motion for your generation? Go and get that light. So tomorrow I'll finish on how you can get light and then perhaps move into the second teaching. Set something in motion. Have an unusual desire to catch light. Okay, to catch light. You must catch light. It will birth revival. Everyone that changed the discourse of generation, the course of generations, caught light. Don't be moving around with suits, ties, and all these smart things, but you have no light. You are saying, no, I'm a pastor, I'm a leader. No, I'm a youth leader, I do this. No, me, I'm in charge of this. No, me. No. Don't be going around with all this title. No, me, I'm Pastor Cham. You know, I'm an apostle, you know. Don't go around with all those things if you have not caught light. Even your ministry as pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist is of no effect, okay? Is of no effect if you have no light concerning that ministry. If you have light, you will be shocked you will not be calling yourself apostle. People will be calling you apostle. People will be calling you evangelist and prophet because you have light and your life is bearing witness. People have got big titles, but nothing to show for the big titles. If indeed you are an evangelist, you must ensure you catch the light that governs evangelists and that particular ministry or that particular office. When you catch the light, the results will begin to come. I want this generation to start to unlock certain things. Start to unlock certain things. Go for the word. And we'll talk about the word of God tomorrow and its importance in bringing light. And you'll be so shocked that some of you will begin to saturate yourself. There's a plan that I have written down, which I'll talk about tomorrow. Because I'm trying to write down certain realities where I can catch light. You know, I'm trying to start reading now 30 chapters every day. I'm trying to see how can I read 30 chapters daily. And I want to write down different types of lights I should catch. Even divine health, you should write it down. It's okay to, it's good to get healed. But there's also a realm where you don't get sick. It's in the scriptures, light. You just don't have the light. So you may see someone saying, I never get sick. And you're wondering, why is it that they say they have light? A man is saying, I will never be poor. I can never, even if the devil tries, I can never be poor. You think, why? Where is the confidence coming from? It's light. It's light that gives confidence. That is why I've told people, for me, I cannot live and I suffer. No. I have caught light that governs provision. I have caught light. I went into this full-time ministry. Let me end here. I went into this full-time ministry. Went into full-time ministry. And for 2 years, God kept quiet on me. God kept quiet for 2 years. 2 years he was quiet on me. I decided to go into full-time ministry. I thought, well, now that I've gone into full-time ministry, I've sacrificed so much for God. God will do mighty things for me. Now things will start happening. Doors will open left, right, and center. 2 years he was not giving me an instruction. Now people were now asking me, what are you doing? Say, well, I'm in full-time ministry. Full-time ministry? Are you starting a church? No. Are you doing this? No. You know, and sometimes my uncles would come, you know, and sometimes because I was praying the night, during the day I'm sleeping, and then they now call you. You look like you're not serious. And you know, there's just a certain level of bigness you feel if you are staying in your parents' house and you're not doing anything productive. So wasa mwiteni wakuita olo nomba olifuma kubedu. Kusa umfukati waduba too big. Umfukati wawuchija. Even if you are small, if you are living in your parents' house and you're not doing anything productive, there's a certain level of bigness. Umfanele olifuma kubedu. Kwa chintu chintu fechile ndatapero fo chichita. That's how I would feel. Alikuisa chamu mwiteni. My uncles would call me nishinawesa mkutandara. So we hear that you are doing, you have decided to go into full-time ministry. Yes. So what are you doing now? Is it a church? No, I don't know what I'm doing. What are you going to, I'm quiet. Nothing. He was quiet on me for 2 years. Quiet on me for 2 years. And even when I started the church, you know, the church was paying me 60 kwacha as salary. 60 kwacha as salary. I sat down. But I realized how that when I caught the light that governs provision, I didn't even bother. I didn't even bother anymore. I didn't even, because I was being provided for, Why? I had caught light that governs provision. Yes, 60 kwacha salary, emuli allowance, emuli transport, emuli fionzo mwine, upkeep, renting, fionzo vini mwine, 60 kwacha. But I didn't struggle because I caught light. That's why even today is not possible. It's not possible for me to suffer. No, I have caught light. I have caught light. As long as the earth endures, I read Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest. And you know where seed time and harvest was put? It was put in things that are sure, day and night. Day and night is sure. Even if you are a witch and you are in this meeting, and you are in this particular meeting, I dare you, stop it from being morning. Stop it from being morning. If you are a powerful witch and you are in this meeting, stop it from being morning. Those are sure things. When I read that seed time and harvest was put in things that are sure, I knew that as long as my seed goes to the ground, the harvest will come. When I caught that light, it was over. It was over and luck has left my life. I don't know what it is, to be honest. I don't know what luck is. I do not know what it is. Okay? It's in sure things, day and night, summer and winter. Takwa wendo shoro shikuma neshi 1,000 shilanda tawa chele lo or winter will not come this year. They can't do it. Okay? Because those are sure things. The moment I realized seed time and I was put in sure things, I realized my life cannot, I can't, that's how my life just, people ask me, how do you do such big programs? You know, maybe you are, some people even start giving me, things like, what is this? Some people start saying things, start making excuses for me, excuses for me. You know, the father was a rich man, you know, Pastor Cham, you don't want to finish Sungo for Alanda. Those people, you know, UK for 5 years, all of a sudden, Zambia. You know, that's why you can do those big programs. In fact, he has got sponsors. We don't have sponsors. Sometimes, even when we start a program, we are seeing 400 pin, 500 pin. It's not there. Don't think, no, it's not there. But I can assure you, I know some principles. When I apply them, every time before we start preparing for a conference, I will apply some principle. There's no conference. Ever since we started doing those things, I have not seen struggle with money, even in conferences. Usually, we may have some hurdles, but when we end it, we have surplus. Because every time when we start preparing for a conference, the first thing I do, we don't start preparing for any conference. The first thing I do is I'll get some money and I'll sow it as a seed. As long as the earth endures, because I don't want to struggle. So that's why you will find even people that are not part of KCCI, people are not even connected, they are just giving into it. They are being compelled by a superimposing force called seed time and harvester. I caught that light and I'll never struggle. Hey, birthing revival by light. Find a reality in God you want to start manifesting and find that light. Sometimes, if you like, write down 10 areas, okay? Let me give you an assignment. So we'll deal with it. You will submit the assignment tomorrow, okay? Or during the day, maybe by 15 hours before the lesson. Let me give you an assignment, I think, to push champagne. Let me give an assignment. Write down 10 areas you want to catch light in, and then we'll give you guidance maybe tomorrow on how you can go into that area, okay? 10 areas you want to catch light in. Write down 10 areas. Okay, it may be healing of, you know, something. It may be general or peculiar, whichever one it is. 10 areas, it may be that you want to catch light for divine health. You just never want to, you don't even want to say to get healed. You know there are powerful evangelists out there and healing ministers, but you just don't, you don't even want to have sickness near you. Write it down. Is it long life that you want to have? Okay, you want to live long. You don't want to die young. Write it down. You will stop being a... I know I can't die. Someone told me, when you get on a bus, what if you die? I can't die. No. You know why I'm speaking like this? There is light that governs these things. I can't go on. I can't. I have known some things. So this light you are running away from, you are being lazy, you are, no, I can't die in an accident. I can't. There is light I have.
So write down 10 areas. Is it divine health? Is it long life? Write down 10 areas you'd love to catch light in. Is it divine protection, preservation? And then we'll start to unpack it. Then we'll allow the scriptures to explode in your heart and you become a terror to darkness. So for tonight, we end here. And I stop the recording at 1 hour, 29 minutes. Thank you.